Time to go national on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. We're live on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, brought to you by Bet365. In a few moments, we'll welcome in Chris Osgood, 13th winningest goalie, not a coach.
Nope.
In NHL history with 401. It's a big number.
It is. Also, we should mention for this hour, brought to you by belated St. Patty's Day. We know we're all wearing green.
Oh,
thank
yeah.
you for the texts. We know.
Oh, yeah.
How does that happen? I never wear this pullover.
Yeah, you do.
I do.
I've seen you wear that before.
No, I did it twice.
I feel like it's like
in
a universal thing.
5 months.
We all checked the weather and looked outside and said, maybe it's spring is starting, and we all thought green. I don't know.
I mean,
or it's just random chance.
And you didn't want to change, and I didn't let you. I'm like, no, be who we are.
We're doing this.
We all look spectacular. Don't worry about it.
last night, Vancouver blown opportunity to go number one overall, get 100 points.
Yep.
Clinch a playoff spot.
They're going to do all those things.
But LA maybe a little hungrier last night.
I don't know. It was like a very playoff feel game. A lot of the goals were like the ping pong at the net front, crease battle, chaos. It's starting where everyone is starting to feel like these are teams that may see each other, you know?
Sam Lafferty scores an all-world goal. And, you know,
looking very Zach Hyman-ish.
Yeah, for sure. Except it was his first goal in 12 or 13 games. So.
The 12 of the year.
Yeah. And he couldn't miss for the first month, and we're like, what happened? And then he went away for a long time. And, but anyways.
How nice about the President's Trophy race right now? Five teams in the league have 97 points, and two have 98. So, like, no one even with a leg up on the competition here.
You don't want it.
You know what the President's Trophy?
No. It's no one wins.
See, I hate that.
When's the last time they won?
Going to what? I don't care about the percentages, about superstition.
Are you crazy?
I don't care.
Okay.
It's crazy. It's on the table. And you're going to tell me in the last 10 to 12 games, you're going to go, let's not win this thing.
Yep.
Are you nuts?
Teams that win when the moon's in retrograde
went awesome for the Bruins last year. It was really great.
And that's it. We have our definitive proof. President's Trophy, you can't win because the Bruins lost
last
year.
The last team to do it, I think, was the Blackhawks in the shortened season. That one doesn't even count.
We're avoiding Stanley Cups now.
That's just a bad attitude, Sammy.
It's a curse.
It's worse than you wearing green.
It's a true curse. If you win the President's Trophy, you don't win the cup, unless it's a shortened season. I don't know why anyone would disagree with me.
Okay.
Throw your last game. Don't win it.
Did Detroit win it with Chris Osgood?
I don't know.
Well, research, please.
Detroit Red Wings 2008. He's probably on that team. That was a really good team. I think they won the cup.
Yeah.
Oh, God, is he on the line?
We'll ask him his thoughts on the President's Trophy.
But would love to see the Vancouver Canucks or the, you know, Jets are kind of, they've fallen off a little
bit. If I'm not mistaken, the Vancouver Canucks won it in back-to-back seasons and horrible things happened.
Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final, would they take that this year, do you think?
I think they would.
Yeah.
I think any team
would. Would the Leafs take that this year?
Oh, my God. I'd take game 7 of the second round. But
so, like, why hand it to the Rangers or Colorado when you're right there?
Yeah. Another banner up.
Yes. Build the banners.
And also, I do think there's some real merit. We should give more credit, more props, more love to the regular season champion. I know, Holt, calm down before you start.
No, I'm okay.
Look at other sports like European football, like soccer. You know, those guys do a whole year-long thing. Is it not a better judge of who's had a better year over the course of 7 months of hockey?
I think it's a huge accomplishment.
It is, for sure it is. 32 teams.
There is money involved, too. I do think you get league money for winning it, if I can remember.
Arby's coupons? What do you get?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what you get.
But
coupons to the the store in New York City, I guess.
It should be more of a playoff reward, too. But it should go back to the 1-8 seed. But still, I guess you get the 8 seed.
Anyway. Okay, let's not change anything
now.
Sorry. 12 games on hand tonight, as Sammy, I think you mentioned.
Yeah.
Some good ones tonight.
Really good ones.
We'll get Chris Osgood talking Washington and the Detroit Red Wings tonight.
Vegas-Nashville's a great game. Edmonton-Winnipeg's a great game. Boston-Florida's a great game. Philly and New York, another good one. There's some really good games on tap tonight.
No kidding.
And heading out west. It's
not Boston-Florida's great. This Washington-Detroit game is massive stakes.
Yep.
What do you got? Washington.
This is one of two remaining between Detroit and Washington.
Oh, really?
I think they got another one.
Yeah, there's 1 point separates them.
So it's not... It's not do or die, but it's amazing.
It's big for the Wings. They're one back.
It's amazing in the next 10 games what a regulation loss can do in certain scenarios, because we know the ties aren't good enough, right? Mm-hmm. It's got to be regulation wins. So that's like a point in itself. All right, let's welcome in Chris Osgood. Hey, Ozzy, thanks for doing this, man. I know it's been a bit of a challenge. Did you find your, what are they called again? Earbuds?
AirPods.
Yeah, AirPods. No, I have not found them. It's the third pair I've lost. So that's what happens when you turn 50 and 51. Like that starts to be missing, and you get worse with technology. So I think I've accepted it, but I'm going old school, holding the phone up to the ear. I'm pretty good about myself.
For $79.99, you can buy strings on the Apple website and go back to the old-fashioned ones.
I know, and I've considered that. I was looking for them today, could not find them in downtown Washington. So I just decided to abort that mission and go old school. So here I am.
Well, good. We're glad you are, and we're teeing up the most intriguing game of the night. There's a dozen of them, but all eyes are Detroit and Washington. And are the Red Wings kind of kicking themselves for even being in a position to let a team like Washington in the mix here in the last 10 odd games?
Well, they wouldn't have been at the start of the year. They would have liked where they are now, but when they went 16-4-2, I believe it was, and they're 8 points up in the playoffs and looking real good. I mean, they were beating teams. They're beating Colorado. They're beating the upper echelon teams and looking good doing it. And then went into a pretty big swoon and go 1-9 and didn't look good at all. Then kind of lost their way defensively. So, yeah, for sure. I mean, they're feeling it. They got a tough road trip here. They lost their first game. Played fantastic in Nashville, but lost 1-0. And come to Washington here, and this is pretty much, to me, a must-win for them. Washington has that game in hand. If Washington wins, they're up by three with a game in hand with not a lot of games left. So, for the Wings, this is important. And then if you look at farther down the schedule for the Red Wings, well, you got Carolina in Carolina. Then you got that trip now. It's difficult down to Florida. Nice weather, but hard games. Tampa Bay, who's playing great, and you also got the Florida Panthers. So it's not like it used to be.
No kidding. So what are the themes of where the Red Wings are at? You mentioned, I know Dylan Larkin had been out. He's back and, looking pretty good for them. Where is their game at, and where are the hiccups in terms of, falling back from that 16-4-2 run you talked about?
Well, if you look at the evolution of their season, they started to play good when they started to play better defensively. I mean, it is an offensive league now, but two things happen, and these things will never change, is you got to be good defensively and you got to have good goaltending. That never goes away, and they're getting that. Alex Lyon caught on fire. They needed somebody to, but midway point, and they absolutely went lights out for a while. Well, that went away. They became a miss, kind of really struggled defensively. Then Dylan Larkin gets hurt, and that's the one thing that couldn't happen. And then their matchups all went away. They struggled with their matchups. And I said, Dylan Larkin's officially a starter to me now, not only when he's in the lineup, he's a point-per-game guy, but he's really, really missed when he's not in the lineup, especially here in Detroit. And it made that top line look a heck of a lot different. Nothing against the guys that were playing, but the guy is the engine that makes the Red Wings go. And when he's playing, they look a heck of a lot different. And even in Nashville, they could have won that game, and it was a tough loss for them. Forsberg scored, I think, just four or five minutes left. So with Dylan Larkin, I still believe they're going to make it. This is a tough road trip, yes, but their schedule favors them. I think they're trending upwards, not downwards like they were if we were to look at them 2 weeks ago. Washington has a difficult schedule. The Islanders aren't getting any traction. New Jersey, which shockingly is behind them by four and out of the playoffs after a fantastic year last year. So the Red Wings still have a pretty good chance, in my estimation, to make it. They've tightened up defensively. I do believe they're trending in the right direction, so that's a good thing.
Got to ask the 13th winningest goalie in NHL history about the situation in net for Detroit, Alex Lyon, who's looked awfully good throughout this season. We'll get the all-important start tonight. James Reimer backing him up. But just your thoughts on Ville Husso and what he's gone through this year. We know he's injured right now, but is he still the long-term solution for the Detroit Red Wings?
Oh, I'm not sure. I think that's an open book going into the offseason for sure. Husso had a real good year last year. This year kind of didn't come out of the gates great. Was starting to get his game before he got hurt. And then they needed somebody to really get hot, and that was Alex Lyon. And he played, had a nice little run in Florida last year. He's just waiting for that opportunity. And he played great for a long stretch. Maybe played a little bit too much. There's no easy games in this league anymore. There's no nights off, especially for a goalie. And I thought he played great in Nashville. And James Reimer went in and played a real solid. He went 3-0 in his three starts. And that helped him mentally. He got back. So that's the biggest key for me going down. Besides them playing good defensively, if Alex Lyon can get his game back to where it was, I believe they're going to make it. If he doesn't, it's rolling the dice again for them. So tonight's a big game for him. He played great in Nashville. He needs to do that again and needs to get himself on a roll like he did earlier. I'm not sure at this point, can Husso get in the net and play and make a difference right now? I'm not so sure about that this late in the season. He hasn't played for a heck of a long time. So to me, we're looking, it's going to be Reimer and it's going to be Alex Lyon moving forward. And those are the two guys that are going to help push them in the playoffs or in the end, be part of the reason they don't make it. So for the Wings, it's all about that third man high and playing great defense and the goalie playing well. If they can do that, their power play hasn't been quite where it was earlier in the season or midway point. But I believe with Dylan Larkin back, getting his legs back, getting that underneath him, that will come back as well. So, like I said, I still like their chances. I'm not a homer, but I just believe looking at the schedule and analytically looking at it, they have the best chance if they play the way they can play.
Yeah, Caps have a really hard schedule, too, coming in, I know. One of the things that has helped the Red Wings take some strides is a couple of young players getting better and finding themselves a little bit. Tell us about Lucas Raymond and Moritz Seider, two guys who I think are, you know, pretty important NHL players now for the Red Wings.
Hey, Ozzy, is the Mo in Mo Seider short for Muhammad Ali?
Oh, I know. What a fight. His first ever fight. Now, he went Forsberg, so we'll call that
middleweight. Right, yeah, yeah.
Right? Well, it's a middleweight matchup. But nonetheless, I mean, that was an entertaining fight. If you people out there love fighting still, which I know there is that group, and it definitely was. And Seider's a beast. He has become a real solid defender. He's still young. Offensive upside, he's kind of lessened that this year to really round out his game. His offensive numbers, you know, aren't where they could be, but he's still young. He's learning to play a complete game as a defenseman. And he reminds me of a younger Doughty. Now, is he going to be as good offensively? I don't know. That's up for debate. But defensively, this guy can shut guys down the last 5 minutes of games. He's an absolute warrior out there, and he's just hitting the tip of the iceberg. And for Raymond, when Larkin was out, he was the one guy that stepped up. They needed guys to step up. They didn't get that. That's what hurt them. Their matchups were a mess, like I said, lineup-wise. But he was the one constant. He was the guy that kind of kept them afloat, kept them in games. He's had himself a year. He's a restricted free agent for the Wings. So Steve Yzerman will have some decisions to make. Obviously, these two will be high on his list to get done for sure. They have other guys coming that are great. Evanston's come back here late in the year after a real solid year in Grand Rapids, and he's been great as well at 6'6". So, I mean, you guys know Chris Draper. He's done a heck of a job here the last 3 years of drafting guys, and the Wings have tons of guys coming. And if anything, they're just looking to make it this year, take that next step, continue to develop these young guys, and move in the right direction, and I believe they're doing that.
Drapes has got time to look at young talent past his pickleball career.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Well, I talked to him today. He not only played pickleball today, he also worked out. I know you're surprised by that, but he likes to let me know And then what he does is when he sees you and he hasn't seen you for a while, he looks at you to see what kind of shape you're in. He turns you to him and tells you what you need to do. It's like grapes. Like, I'm not you. I don't have that same mentality anymore. He was on the front of Pickleball Magazine. You know that in Michigan.
That's
no,
real?
He was not.
He's into it.
You got to post that.
He was. He's a diehard. I have the picture somewhere on my phone, but I can't find it because I don't have my earpods in. So it's up. But jokes aside, Drapes has done a heck of a job drafting guys with Steve Yzerman, the both of them, and the rest of the scouting staff. They have a ton of young guys coming. Future looks bright in Detroit. This is a great experience. If they make it or not, they want to, though, because, like you said, Nick, because of where they were, they'll feel like if they don't make it, they let it slip away. So there is pressure in that aspect, but this team to me, it's going to be a team to reckon with here in the next couple of years, and they're coming on. Whether or not, I'm not going to say they're a Stanley Cup contender in the next 2 years, but they're coming in the right direction.
So where does Patrick Kane fit into the picture? How has that sort of marriage been, and is there a future for it?
Well, I know two things. He loves Detroit. His dad's in Buffalo, who's been to Detroit lots. He loves it, so it's easy. Chicago's on the other side, which isn't that far from Detroit. So he's kind of right in the middle. He has the best of both worlds without being inundated with people from either place. He's friends with DeBrincat. Their families are close. I mean, obviously, they've had success on the ice, but he likes the culture, and he loves playing Detroit. So hopefully, Stevie is probably, I would think, I'm not going to speak for him, make an effort to have him come back. He's been fantastic. I mean, and beyond the points, he brings that aura. He brings something the Wings haven't had for a while since they've had the Zetterbergs and the Datsyuks and Lindstroms that were here. And that's a superstar, and he is that. And he's won. And that's the biggest difference with the Wings. You have Comfrey, who's won. You've got Mata, that's won. They got guys that have won in the dressing room. So that's another belief of mine while they're going to make it. And I do think Kane's going to catch on fire again. He's had a heck of a year. In a little short sample size here, but what he's bringing the game beyond points, he's moving fluently. His skating has been fantastic. He looks like he's back. He's put the work in. I don't know everybody looks at the other side of that hip surgery he had, but to me, I haven't seen any effects of that as of right now. He has his movement laterally, the way he's skating, his speed, it's been all there. And then the points come with that. So as a fan of the Red Wings and a former player, I sure hope he comes back, for sure.
And as a former player, you sit at 401 wins in your career. You are an analyst for Bally Sports as we tee up a big game tonight. So, Ozzy, 27 years ago, what were you doing?
27 years ago?
Yeah.
Where was I? Was I on the road, or was I?
I think you were brawling. Was he not?
Was that 27 years ago? Playing Colorado at home?
Yes.
Fighting Patrick Waugh, is that right?
Yes.
Really? I did not know.
No, was that
like
Vernon?
Quarter of a century,
was it with Vernie?
Was it Vernie with Waugh?
I think it was Vernie with Waugh. Were you on the bench?
It was Vernie. I was on the bench. I had a front row seat.
You had a front row seat. Vernie, that was the brawl at
Shanahan,
home.
With Shanahan, where they connected in midair. That was that one.
Shanahan jumped over top and I remember it's Vernie wanted to get kicked out of the game, but the referee never kicked him out. He's exhausted. Nobody's going to accuse Mike Vernon, unlike Chris Draper, of being in great shape. We're not going to do that. So he was exhausted. And actually, I think the game ended up 6-5. And from experience, when I fought him the next year, I was done, exhausted. Like, I had to go in the room. And the trainer came in. I said, please tell him I don't have to. I couldn't even move my arms. So I didn't have to go back in. He did. And I can't believe he did that. And it ended up 6-5. I think McCarty scored in overtime. That kind of kick-started where we went from there. Before that, we're kind of sputtering. We got lost some tough rounds in the playoffs and weren't winning when we should have. And that kind of was the building block for the Red Wings to win some cups in the future. So
yeah.
McCarty with a huge goal and a great game. And Mike Vernon ended up winning the Conn Smythe that year. And went to the Hall of Fame this year. I was there to see him, so that was wonderful seeing all that business there in Toronto. I had a great time. So, to me, one of the best goalies and guys I've ever played with, and fortunate to have got a chance to play with him for so many years.
27 years ago tonight.
I can tell you other stories, but I could tell you the stories, but I can't tell the stories depending on who's listening right now. On and off the ice. I'll just say that. How about that? He's great on and off the ice. Could have made the Hall of Fame in both.
We'll bring you on for another time, and we'll get into those stories. How about that?
I would love it. I'd love it.
Ozzie, have a great call tonight. We'll be watching, okay? Thanks for doing this.
Okay, guys. All right, guys.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Chris Osgood.
Holding That's the phone hilarious. To his ear for 15 straight minutes. That's work.
His arm's probably more tired than
fighting
brawling.
Fighting Wah.
So the Hour Detroit, I think it's called, or Detroit Hour, just found this. A article by Nolan Bianchi. Pickleball isn't just for seniors. Just ask Stanley Cup champion Chris Draper.
So
it's shortly after 11 a.m. on a Thursday.
So Drapes and I go.
Do you know where your seniors are?
We go back as Toronto guys training together. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a group of us that hung out at a fitness institute, and like he was just a machine of a fitness guy. So. Yeah. You know, deep down, he's really training because he hopes that Stevie Y can say, I need you one game.
Like, just in case.
Well, just in case.
One of the all-time great moments is at the Leafs-Wings centennial game where
him
and Roberts get into it on the ice.
Oh, the alumni.
Yeah, the alumni.
The outdoor alumni game.
Yeah, it was before the one...
He's one of the most competitive guys I've ever met. And
what?
Like
I would kill for a shred of that.
We golfed together at Magna for a lot of years, and like you don't want to golf with him if his game's not on.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Oh, he's getting a little sour.
Oh, yeah, that's an understatement.
So if he had a shot at 101 with Borney at Scarborough, he wouldn't have been as pleasant as me.
Like you're ducking. If he had like if he's really golfing poorly, you got to duck because you may get a.
One of his
sticks.
Chris Draper played 222 playoff games.
God, that's work.
And he got traded for a dollar from the Winnipeg Jets.
Wow.
Probably want that one back.
You know what I think we need to do a better job of is when we talk about players' careers is cumulative games. We do regular season games all the time with guys. Like, why do we discount the value of playoff games in a guy's career totals?
Actually, it's a great idea to discredit Ovi. Be like, well, if you count Wayne's playoff goals, then he's over at that.
Why is that unreasonable? Like, no. He's got that many NHL. Those games were less important?
Why is that?
Were they against easier teams? Why wouldn't we count them?
That myth on suspensions, like a playoff game is worth two regular season.
Give them two goals.
Give them a game and a half for a playoff game.
I as much as that's a silly recommendation, it is worth more, and so I'm not saying we should adjust the stats, but we should at least count them for crying out loud.
Listen, and it's you know, that is the hardest roster to break in, right, is a playoff roster.
Yeah, like, you're playing a good team every time.
There's huge...
Who want to kill you in that era.
Right.
Huge decisions. Rosters are open up. Usually you call up three or four from your farm team. Now your expanded roster's like 26, 27. And like to crack a playoff roster...
Yeah, and to play 222 of those games...
A very big compliment.
For sure.
So
it's worth a lot.
So at the end of everyone's career, I don't even know this, but I feel like I should know this. I mean, it's Wayne, so that's easy. But who has the most combined between regular season and playoffs? That should be the ultimate list.
Of course it is. It's like, do it.
No,
do a list.
So that would be Chelios and Messier would probably have the most.
I feel like the list would probably be somewhat similar. Yeah, like really good players were good in both times.
I don't know. Yeah. Who has the career most games played career? Is it?
I think it's
Marlowe. Gordy?
Isn't it Marlowe? Didn't Marlowe just
Marlowe got it? I don't know.
I think he
That's
did.
That's a good question.
Gordy Howe's not.
No, I feel okay.
Gordy played
never,
like
I'm
till
not
he
a
was
trivia
like
guy.
62.
Yeah. Patrick Marlowe passed it.
Most games all time.
The most games all time. 1,779 games played from 97 to 2021. Gordy Howe's second. Marc Messier, Jágr, Francis is the top five.
Chelios.
Like, those are minus playoff games for some reason.
Chelios is 1,651. He's number nine.
Chelios played, I want to say, in like the East Coast.
So how many did Marlowe get? They had some good runs.
How many playoff games did he get?
Yeah.
Okay.
Would he have been close to 200? 150?
He got 195 playoff games.
Yeah, oh, my God. Yeah. What?
Yeah. So with he's one Stanley Cup final. Mm-hmm. They had some good.
I mean, yes, I know that.
They had some good runs.
Didn't realize they had that many.
They just couldn't get over the hump.
That one year when the reverse sweep Kings year. Remember when they were high flying and
yes,
they went
up 3-0
and the Kings came back and got them. Yeah, so.
And they won the cup that year.
So I guess tonight's homework, well, before I watch the Leafs game, is to come up with who has the most combined points of all time.
The most NHL playoff games by a single player is Chris Chelios, 266. Lindstrom, 263. Yeah. Messier, 236.
That's wow. Like a lot.
To me, games. That's the most badass stat.
Gretzky's got 208 with 208 with 122 goals, 382
wow.
playoff points.
Yeah, count that in the total.
How does that not count? Additional 122 for Waino.
That's crazy.
That is.
All right.
It is goofy that it's not factored in.
Yes. It's outwardly weird.
I like that. I like that word, goofy. Oh, my God. I have too many pages today, boys.
Okay. We're going a little game time, Sammy?
Yeah, if I can find my correct page here. Here it is. It's game time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app with the latest odds to find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Now, like I said, there's some really good games on the ice tonight, which I'll get to, but you guys were talking about the President's Trophy.
Mm-hmm.
So, first of all, I had a texter come in and tell me that, FYI, the NHL teams to win the President's Trophy and win the Stanley Cup since 85 are the 86-87 Oilers, the 88-89 Calgary Flames, the 93-94 Rangers, the 98-99 Dallas Stars, 01 Colorado Avalanche, 02 Detroit Red Wings, 08 Red Wings, and 13 Chicago Blackhawks.
That's a lot.
It happens.
It's a good list. It's a good list.
It happens.
Quick look up, by the way. Gretzky has about 40 more playoff goals than Ovi. So give him another 40
there
goal
we
head start.
We're laughing.
So during the parade, Stanley Cup parade, of course, the back of the float, all the big boys with the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
They gave me
the president's
trophy.
Oh,
and the thing looks like a dish. It's like,
who wants that?
So ugly. It's like, I was like,
you've got the red, white, and blue metal around your neck.
I was trying to pass it off to like some of the guys. I'm like, hey, you carry this thing for a while. They're like, I don't want that thing.
Hold president's that with trophy. Pride.
So the Rangers are the favorite at +225 for the president's trophy. The Panthers are the next closest, +350. Colorado, +450. The Canucks are +550. So I guess they have the most
tied
points.
For the lead and +450.
So good value there, but they're obviously hedging against not having Demko there.
Yeah.
Right? Like they think that they may go on a little slide here without Demko. And I know Smith's been good since he's come in, but, you know, that's probably the reason there. And then the Canes are 7-1. So that's who.
Just get Demko ready.
Canes 7-1, 98 points. Buddy, there's your bet.
That's actually a great bet.
There's your bet.
Go ahead.
I was just going to ask about Detroit and Washington. Where is it leaning?
Detroit is a underdog tonight. They're +105 in Washington. Washington's -125. I don't know. To me, they're just two teams. I have no idea.
Yeah.
What side of that would you be on?
I don't like the Red Wings. You know, it's like if you can just take away the grade A scoring, like who's in that? Reimer. He said Reimer is like, you know, guy they're going to be leaning on here. I don't feel super confident in their goaltending. And Charlie Lindgren in Washington has had a very good year. So I guess I prefer Washington.
Yeah, that Husso contract for them has not worked out.
God, the Corpusalo one's bad. Like some offseason contracts for goalies.
So Husso has played two games since December 18th.
There's just no way, and I include Corpusalo here and Husso. Like you write it off.
Yeah.
And let's see them in training camp. Let's see what kind of start they can get. But you cannot embarrass yourself by admitting you made a bad decision in 12 months. It's just not happening.
Yeah.
You got to give these
Another
guys
chance
a chance
next year
to come back and save your decision.
Yes.
The other ones that I was looking at quickly,
The Oilers are pretty big favorites in Winnipeg tonight. Winnipeg's been struggling a bit. Maybe we'll talk about that a bit in news and notes. But, you know, I think Edmonton is minus 130 faves on the road against the Jets. If you think the Jets are going to bounce back in a big game against a, you know, conference rival, another Canadian team, not bad value on the Jets there. And the last one I'll bring up is the Florida Panthers are minus 140 favorites on home ice taking on the Boston Bruins. So that's a big one.
Yeah, it's the right odds, though.
Leafs are huge favorites, by the way.
All right.
Minus 160. All right, that's game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for the latest odds. Find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
All right, with the loss last night, the Vancouver Canucks missed an opportunity to clinch, but that doesn't mean multiple teams won't have that same opportunity tonight. As many as four teams get a chance to clinch tonight. We'll tell you which ones after the break. You're watching and listening to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Teeing up the biggest games of the night, it's the Fan Pregame with Ailish Forfar and Justin Cuthbert.
Weekdays at 6 p.m. on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Games on tap tonight with the Bruins, the Rangers, the Panthers, and the Hurricanes all in a position to clinch tonight. Out of the four, who do you like?
I mean, tonight in their games or for to finish atop the best team of those four?
Best team
Bruins,
of those four.
Bruins, Rangers, Panthers, Canes. I like the Panthers in the playoff series, the Hurricanes in the rest of the regular season. How about you?
The Hurricanes intrigue me.
Mm-hmm.
I like their D. Up front, they've had some success in the playoffs, but they have not been able to get over the hump either.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering if they've got that to go up against the Panthers. That you know what I'm talking about. A little F U.
What's that stand for?
They're a little leafy, you know? A lot of skill guys, not a ton of heavy.
Not a ton
playoff.
Of, I like, will like fight your Martin mom.
Uck. Martin Uck, he'll do it. Jordan Staal.
They need a little Brad May attitude.
Yeah.
Right, Derek?
I don't know if you can find that.
He's probably busy recording something I said.
But on the back end, like, they're long, they're not mean. Slavin, Burns, Pesci, Orlov, those are big bodies, but they're not mean. So, yeah, we'll be interesting to see if... Can you just good your way to a Stanley Cup, or do you have to be angry too?
They're very good.
Yeah,
and the times, good. The viewings that they've had against the Leafs, the times I've watched them, I think I mentioned this yesterday when we were talking about it, but I love the way they pass.
Mm-hmm.
They snap it around. And that top line they got going there with Gensel, Aho, and Seth Jarvis, they give you everything you want, speed, skill. They fly around out there, good defensively.
A bookmaker. That line's ridiculous.
It's really good.
Well, again, Gensel, 15 goals for, 0 against. Yeah, he's been a Hurricane.
Already returning to Pittsburgh tonight. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that'll be an interesting response to see what they...
Do you think him and Sid will hug at opening faceoff?
I mean, Sid loved playing with them. They were a great pair.
Yeah.
And he was really good for them. And he's been really good for... Turns out he's just really good.
Yeah.
And he's probably going to get a massive payday this offseason.
Did the Blues miss an opportunity last night?
I think they
keep it close.
I think they missed the opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, they had a penalty shot in overtime to cut the gap. The points would have, if they score on that penalty shot, they'd have 81 points and Vegas would have 84 points. You know, they have 3 points left there. Is that right? Yeah, I did that right. So that would leave them, you know, a catchable distance away. But instead, a 5-point gap, the other team has more games remaining. They have more regulation wins. It's just... The mountain's too big.
Let me ask you, were they in John Hines territory, pulling the goalie in OT?
It's a great question.
Like,
probably.
It really feels like they were.
Yeah.
To me, where it's like, you need the two. The one's not going to...
Doesn't help you.
Doesn't help you at all.
You got to make sure the other team doesn't get one, too.
And I know you'd love to see Vegas miss.
I wouldn't. I like Vegas.
Oh, okay.
No, hockey.
I would.
The whole hockey world wants him.
Everyone else.
Okay.
I like that.
Yeah, you're right. You got the hat.
I got the hat.
I remember you got the hat.
I really hope Edmonton doesn't play him in the playoffs because I'm wearing it.
I think it's a horrible message that a team that takes their bat off the shoulders or is aggressive or finds ways to get it done for their fan base, keep it excited, misses the playoffs.
No,
I don't want that. I don't want that.
So I get that. I think
they should be, like, good for you. That general manager that sits on his butt and does nothing because he wants to save his job and would not put, you know, his neck on the line doesn't deserve to be rewarded.
Yeah, it's the man in the arena quote. Who, you know, better to have been in the arena covered in dirt than be the man judging from a phone, whatever it is.
I have no idea what you're talking about,
but
it sounds good.
No, the man in the arena story? No. It's like a Tom Brady. You don't know it?
Don't look at me.
The idea is that better to have been in the arena and fought and lost covered in blood, sweat, and tears and all that than to be the person looking in on the outside commenting on it.
Better to have loved and lost than never loved at all.
There's also a Lombardi quote about... Anyway,
let me Google it.
I'm not going to do it.
But no, I think it's more interesting.
But yes, but I do want to say,
okay,
it's not that people don't like a guy who's aggressive.
Then what?
They don't believe it's honest or fair.
Oh, okay, we're back to.
We're back to it. That's what it is. It's that if a guy is healthy enough to play, and you're saying he's not, you're doing a thing that we're saying you can't do. It's illegal. It's against the rules. It's against the spirit of the whole thing.
I think it's awesome that it's Vegas that's doing this. Like, as just recently being to Vegas, I've been listening to this, like, podcast about the mafia in Vegas and how they ran it for years and all this stuff. Like, it's just fascinating to me. And the fact that they have an NHL team that is just, like, playing by the rules.
Running the numbers.
Like, kind of playing by the rules.
Wins.
Right? It's just, to me, it's the perfect Vegas team.
It's no different than, like, Otani right now. It's like, okay,
a little different than Otani.
You have your theories, but
it's the same thing.
Hey, what are you proving?
Well,
that's my comparison.
Stole all the money from him, Kipper. There's nothing else.
What are you proving?
The burden
are
of
you
proof
proving
is
that
on you to
Vegas,
prove where
Vegas bent the rules.
No,
Otani right now is looking. Who's challenging him on the rules?
This is not the Supreme Court, brother. We do not need, we can infer that it's probably a little dishonest without me having to drag out Mark Stone's spleen for you.
It's perfectly Vegas. It's what it is.
It's very
You know, if Gary Bettman had his choice, I think he'd rather have the Vegas Golden Knights in there than the Blues. Sorry to Doug Armstrong and the Blues, who we love, but if he had his choice, I think he's taking Vegas.
They're looking into it like they're looking into Otani. They're like, checks out. He's good.
That verbal meme of the guy that's
not
good. To totally derail this, but what's going to happen with that guy?
Nothing. Otani?
Nothing.
He didn't do anything.
That's what I said about Vegas 2 seconds ago. They didn't do anything illegal.
Really think that, I mean, who knows what happened? It's all alleged, all the details. Who knows? But I saw someone tweet that Otani has the worst best friend, the worst accountant, the worst interpreter, the worst bank manager of all time.
It's an unfortunate. He's a great ball player. Yeah. He can't hire worth a damn.
it's his blind spot. He can throw a slider, hit one 500 feet. But
cannot do a job interview. Yeah. This guy.
Did you catch?
Can't find good help.
Pete Rose yesterday.
Yeah,
I did.
Yeah.
What did he say?
Wish I had one of those interpreters.
I wish I had an interpreter.
Yes, back then.
Ooh, that's a good line. But then he made some, actually I did see it, and then he made a joke that explained his joke, and he was like, to cover it up. We got it.
We got the joke, Pete. Go back to signing hats in Vegas, pal. I think what's going to happen is that Ipe, his interpreter, completely takes a fall for him, and maybe in 10 to 15 years.
Catches the check.
There's a real expose in the story comes out.
That 15 years.
I don't think there's going to be I think they're covering it up. It's too big. He is way too important. Do you know how much money Otani brings into the MLB, especially him playing for LA and like going back to Japan? That is such a massive cash cow for the MLB. They are getting out their industrial broom, baby. They're sweeping it.
I don't know. This guy just deferred all of his money so he doesn't have to give the state any taxes.
Well,
is he playing for $1 million a year?
Yeah, he's playing for a bag of chips and a ham sandwich.
Yeah. Then he's going to be Bobby Bonilla times 1,000 till he's dead.
I don't know what happens, boys. But
all right. Good hockey talk.
He's my least favorite player in the league, and I hope he gets busted and never plays again. There you go.
He broke your heart.
Broke my heart.
Him and Jonte Porter can start anyway.
Okay, let's get it back on the rails here with torts, because He went back on the podium.
Yeah.
He didn't end a press conference the other night very well, and he apologized for it. Is that what happened?
Well, he got asked about the backups, Felix Sandstrom, right? And he got asked about him, and basically he was like, being a big...
Double-tapped the podium, was like...
You know, being a piss baby. I don't know if I can say that on the radio. You can say anything once,
gotta find
but
out.
It just... Not answering a question, being upset, being emotional.
No different than how he treated his captain.
Yeah.
Well, basically. The funny thing is I actually heard Torts made an apology for how he handled the post-game press conference. It was what I had heard. And
yeah,
I was like,
do you have the clip?
Oh, no.
Yeah, no. Do you want to hear it?
Sure. Let's but I was just saying, I thought it was going to be about Couturier.
No.
It isn't.
Are you crazy?
Yeah.
Let's hear the clip.
So we'll go tonight, and we'll make decisions as we go through here. So... I made a terrible mistake with you guys the other night when, I'm not sure, I think you might have asked me about Sandy. My body language is wrong. What I should have said to you was, I tried to communicate with you guys after. He's trying. Sandy's trying. We've been, things happened this year that put our goaltending situation into a little bit of a state of flux. Sandy did not deserve that from me. You had a perfect right to ask the question. He did not deserve that from me. Man, it was wrong. So how we go about it with him, we're just not getting too far ahead. We're just worried about this game here tonight. Erst gets the start.
Oh, God.
He pulled a Sheldon Keefe, bud. He pulled a Sheldon Keefe. He apologized.
Yeah. I've made a huge mistake.
That reminded me of Daryl Sutter with Jacob Pelletier. I mean, I don't think Daryl apologized, but they're like randomly dismissing a young guy who
you want
to
develop. What number did he wear tonight?
Just,
is that it?
Like, just the process, the tug of war with him and what he's thinking at the time and how he's not able to necessarily control his emotions. Torts. Just kind of, torts. And then he has to come out and apologize like that and... I just wonder, like, how stable is he?
Well, this is
that a fair question to ask when a guy swings like that on the podium?
Yes, it's fair. It's like the third time this year we've had Torts at the podium stories. There are 32 teams and 32 coaches, and we haven't had three per coach. I can tell you that. He has a history of it.
He's been around the game a long time. When he's asked about his goaltender, how can he not come up with that the process of coming to the conclusion that he can say what he just said then.
Yeah.
How do you need 24 hours to go back and go, I made a terrible mistake?
One of two things.
You're a pro.
He's too
You've been around forever.
Or he likes it. He likes the attention.
Loves it. Maybe he likes attention.
I don't understand. Like, you've been around the game such a long time. How can you not come to that quick conclusion that you need to answer this in a professional manner without degrading your player?
Particularly when you've just been through such scrutiny and press conferences over Couturier, you think he'd, I don't know, kind of be on guard and trying to avoid making waves.
Maybe you could apologize for the way you handled that, too.
Yeah.
If we're getting apologies. I don't know.
I am curious to see how that plays out with him. I thought it was really an interesting story. Doug McLean saying that he could see Torts going into management with Philly.
Yeah.
Maybe Berube coming in to coach the team. Like, I don't know. Like, it does seem a little dangerous because of what you talk about having him coach right now. Just emotional. Great stories.
I don't know what we're putting him in a... President of hockey ops, like that's what Keith Jones is for. Where would he fit in?
Probably like a special advisor.
Between Breer and
Buddy, they make up
and Keith Jones.
They do.
They'll be like, he'll be the special assistant to the general manager's friend.
He's the tree planter's assistant.
And if you're Craig Berube and you'd really like the job, but it comes with Tortorella above you looking down and dealing with him.
Funny because him and Keith Jones, I mean, the three of them, Torts, Keith Jones, and Berube, none of them are take BS guys. Like, you could see it being perfect or awful. You know, like, if they don't fit on an issue, it could be dramatic.
Yeah, and is...
I like the powder keg idea. That'd be fun.
Is Berube different enough from Torts.
That's a good point too.
Right? Like I think they're obviously different guys, but like their styles, I think, would be pretty similar or whatever. I heard, you know, on JD's show, Berube went on there and said that like he didn't have a problem with the scratch and that he hadn't played.
Oh, it's Couturier.
Yeah.
Really?
And that he hadn't like scored and that he hadn't played very good and he had no problem with it, sort of thing. So like if he's saying that,
yeah,
you know, would he be the type of guy that's going to change? I don't know. Anyways,
yeah,
interesting. Well, Ranger, to me, they're one of the most fascinating teams in the league.
Keep an eye on them.
Like, they're not going anywhere though. They're going to make. They're fine in their position. They're not going to blow this, are they? With that goaltending?
No, they're not going to blow it. There's not anyone good enough chasing, I don't think. You?
The wheels would completely have to fall off,
yeah,
right?
They're all right.
Well, so yeah, I guess it's they could drop down to the no. They could. I mean,
right? No, they. What do you think wins it?
I think 91 points gets you in.
You do?
91 points. I think if the Caps lose tonight, maybe it's 90. If they win, maybe it's 92. But you're talking between 90 and 92 points gets you in. So if you're the Devils, you got 10 games remaining. That means 20 possible points. That's 94 points. They can only lose a couple of points down the stretch. But above that, Islanders, Red Wings, they, any of them get hot, it could be conceivable. You'd have to get really hot.
So here's the Flyers' remaining schedule.
Okay.
They play the Rangers tonight, which is a tough one. Then they go Habs, Blackhawks, Islanders, Sabres, Blue Jackets, Canadians.
Ugh, soft.
And then Rangers, Devils, Caps.
Pretty soft schedule down the stretch.
So think they should be all right.
We shall see.
All right.
Jets have kind of fallen down the Central Division race a little bit here. They lost 3 road games in 4 days by a combined score of 13-4. Meanwhile, the Preds, by the way, 15-0-2 in the Central of late, climbing up, getting hot. But yeah, the Jets are interesting. I know that in the first half of the year and more, Connor Hellebuyck had been the best goalie in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
They've been okay in front of him and only okay. You know, he's been a little bit better than okay, but yeah, a little concerning that they're kind of trailing off a little bit.
Edmonton and Vegas, the next 2 games, mm-hmm, tonight and Thursday. So
tough.
It kind of, you'll get a better feel for where they're at.
Yeah.
I think going into the last few weeks,
playing a couple of really good teams. Definitely one of the races to watch. Nashville, 5 points behind them. I don't think there's any concern there.
Who've won 5 in a row? Are you just going to continue to?
Yeah. Listen, I did it with the Oilers when they were struggling early in the year. Sometimes you got to stick to your guns.
And Preds are plucky, man. They play hard. They've won 5 in a row, and ever since they banned the sphere, they've been red hot.
Yeah.
Okay, and is Roman Josi not like one of the best defensemen who just doesn't ever really get the notoriety he should?
Yeah, you'd love him to be somewhere people watch him more. And I'm not saying Nashville's not worth watching.
So good.
Yeah, he is unbelievable.
I mean, he's won the Norris, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so people know that he's good.
I know, but you don't.
Here we go with the underrated thing again.
Yeah, he is. But no, it's Nashville. It's just Nashville.
Underrated.
Nobody's
he's been
really
on this all-star team multiple times. He's talked about as one of the best guys in the league.
Yeah.
Most underrated player in the league is Nick Ehlers.
I was going to say Roope Hintz.
And I don't know. The sleeper signing, too, is Ryan O'Reilly in Nashville.
God. Yeah, but like if you're a team
that's
and your first-line
so
center is Ryan O'Reilly, you're probably not that great.
20 minutes every night.
Man, Josi is having a monster year again.
Monster year.
24 minutes. He plays 24 minutes a night, plus 18, 72 points in 71 games, 18 goals, 54 assists.
Yeah.
Massive season.
Yeah, like he could be in the heart conversation. He won't be because we always give it to the points guys.
Yeah.
But
Norris?
Well, yeah, the Hughes.
Not even a sniff.
People like made their mind up on Hughes.
Kale McCarr or Hughes, but no Roman Josi ever in the conversation.
81 points. Maybe he should be. McCarr's at 78. And what did you say Josi was at? 72.
72.
So he's 9 points behind the leading defenseman.
Is that like, do 9 points just take a guy right out of the equation?
No, they don't. Absolutely not. And I think it does. That's when you go to the underlying stats and everything else. But no, he's in the mix now for sure. He has a great 10 games to close. Look out.
All right. Big games on tap tonight. Pick your favorite and then join us tomorrow as we dive right back into the Real Kipper and Bourne show. Our thanks to general manager of the New Jersey Devils, Tom Fitzgerald.
Yes, sir.
And Chris Osgood, who's covering a big Washington-Detroit game tonight.
And held the phone to his ear all
Have a great night, everybody. And we're back tomorrow.